And so now we're looking at this part of St. Mark, chapter 3. We're looking now at the first 12 verses. The first six are about this man with the withered hand, and then the following six are a sort of a summary of our Lord's ministry in the north, and we'll get there shortly and discuss what they're called summary statements. Okay. The man stretched forth his hand, and it was totally restored. So the Pharisees, Ephthys, right away, went out with the Herodians to make a pact or an agreement. I don't know how they translate that. Took counsel with the Herodians against him. How they might do away with him already. The public life has just begun, and you see the conflict, Satan and some of the leaders of the people. And already, you see, and the most amazing thing is, you see, that the Pharisees and the Herodians would have nothing to do with each other, but they're willing to team up in order to destroy Jesus. That's how great the hatred is, okay? And so, Mark tells us, so Jesus withdrew toward the sea. He was in the town. He withdrew toward the sea with his disciples. A large number of people followed him from Galilee and from Judea. So from the north, where he's from and where he is, and from the south, Judea, they're coming up to see him, to hear him, and to be cured. Hearing what he was doing, you see, a large number of people came to him also from Jerusalem, from Idumea, from beyond the Jordan, now they're outside of Israel, from the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon. So here's the Jordan, here's Jesus in Capernaum. They're coming this way, and they're coming from Tyre and Sidon this way. And so we're going to have now what's called a summary statement, you see, followed by a resume of our Lord's healing. And so the text says that he withdrew, and hearing what he was doing, this large crowd came. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so they will not crush him. Now, also, water is a great carrier of sound. So if our Lord goes out on a boat, maybe 20, 30 yards, and nobody's going to follow him out there and get wet, from there he can teach without being crushed to death, everybody wanting to touch him. And the water acts as an amplifier as he addresses this large crowd on the shore. And so, you see, he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. And now Mark explains why. He had cured many, and as a result, those who had diseases were pressing upon him to touch him. And whenever unclean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God." He warned them sternly not to make him known. Now that, as you can see, is a summary of our Lord's activity in the north. They came to him. He healed them. The demons were shouting out. He had to leave the shore, go out into a boat so that he wouldn't be crushed. You see, this is a summarizing a type of activity. Can you imagine the crowds coming? This was before hospitals and modern medicine and all the rest. Boy, if you were sick, you were just sick. With a few things that people had managed to acquire some knowledge about how to heal diseases. And so you see, they want to touch him. And he comes out. Now the demons are trying to discredit him. Some are forced to acknowledge him. Others are doing this so these unclean spirits, you see, so that you are the Son of God. Well, if the demons are saying he's the Son of God, that discredits him. Though some of them are forced to say it whether they want to or not. And so he firmly warned them not to make him known. But that's part of something that's a theme in Mark, picked up many years ago now, over a century, called the Markan secret, or the Messianic secret. Why does Jesus so many times say, don't tell anybody, don't make it known? The Messianic secret. There are theories why. Probably they all might have some truth to them. Huh? One, Jesus didn't want to be a healer. He wanted to show himself as what he was, the Messiah. Now he healed to show forth the Father's mercy and to show people that he was from another world and he had this power to heal. So he healed and healed many, 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 as you're just reading, huh? But he didn't want the kind of acknowledgement that would distract people from who he is and what he's come to tell them. He's come to tell them about the love and the compassion of the Father. And so the Messianic secret is, let the people understand that I'm the Messiah, but not by some sort of Hollywood technique, or by brooding it about, and certainly not by the testimony of the evil spirits who are shouting out, you're the Messiah, you are whatever. No. So he rebuked them sternly, and not to make him known. Because you don't need the devil's seal of approval to undertake a divine ministry. And so he's shutting them up. But they want to identify with him to discredit him. And some of them maybe were forced whether they wanted to do it or not. But our Lord is healing. And so you have, and you will have, as we go through Mark, what's called these summary statements, where a whole period of activity is summed up. He healed many, he spoke to many, he drove out demons, he wouldn't let them acknowledge him. In other words, it's trying to create there's a word in literature for this, it slipped my mind, just what I wanted to tell you. Chaotic enumeration. Just enumerate a lot of things and create the impression, you know, of what really was happening. This crowd wanting to be healed. Remember, there's no medicine. If you were sick, if you had leprosy, if you were blind, if you were deaf, nobody could do anything for you. There was no hospital, no doctor, in our sense of the term. So they were coming to him, and he, mercy, standing there, the very mercy of God himself, healing them, taking care of them, and trying to give them a greater confidence in the Father so that they would listen and understand. And when he finally gave his life for them and rose again, they would be ready to believe in him and embrace salvation and begin the church. And so this is what our Lord is doing, you see. He's trying to help these people. And so we have this ending for the moment. The next thing that we read, and we're going to do next time, is about the mission of the 12. He calls 12, as we'll see, to be with him, and he sends them out. So what have we done so far as we look at these chapters in the Gospel of Mark? Huh? We began with John the Baptist and identifying him with the man in Isaiah 40. I'm sending my messenger ahead of him. He will prepare your way. He is a voice crying out in the wilderness, and so forth, locating John, and then describing his clothes. So if you remember, he's dressed like Elijah, you know. He's got a prophet's garb, and he's living in the desert. Then the inbreaking, huh? Jesus comes to be baptized, and the heavens are opened, huh? And a voice, and the Holy Spirit descends. This is my beloved Son. So he's declared. First thing that Jesus does, and this is very important in Mark, he goes out into the desert to pray and to fast and to enter into conflict with Satan and begin his defeat. Now, Mark does not mention the three temptations as does Matthew or Luke, but he does say that he was driven out to be tempted by Satan. He overcomes Satan. He doesn't fall for that stuff. And from now on, he will plunder his goods. He's bound this strong man. And for the rest of his ministry, he will plunder his goods, freeing people. How did they get involved with demons? Some probably went and made a pact with them because they wanted to make more money or whatever. Some got in trouble, who knows how. Some were just beset by demons in regard to their health. Jesus freed them all. This is the mercy, you see? And it also is proclaiming, here is the kingdom of God. Isn't this what the prophets said would happen? Are you ready for this? Well, you can see they were ready, but they weren't ready until Pentecost. Even the disciples didn't quite get it. And then, after that, you see, we have this first conflict. The first miracle in Mark is an exorcism. And that is characteristic of the way Mark wants to show us that throughout his public life, our Lord Jesus Christ was in conflict with and defeating Satan. But the real battle for the human race is to overcome Satan. And our Lord overcomes him, as all the fathers of the church are in such awe at this mercy. By dying in an act of love, letting himself be tortured and killed under the instigation of Satan. So Satan thinks he's won, and then Jesus rises again and has defeated Satan. How many of the fathers of the church talk about that, huh? I think it's Ephraim who has that line. His humanity was the hook holding the bait, and Satan bit on it, and he was caught and thrown away. And so, and then other healings, they were there, and then he goes out to pray. And then when he comes back, everybody knows he's home, and he's in the house. You remember this from last time. And he healed. They lower a paralytic through the roof. It's because the roofs were made of branches and mud, and you could get them apart and get somebody down. And they did. And there he makes an astonishing claim. First thing he says is, "My child, your sins are forgiven." And people say, "How can he say that? Who can forgive sins except God?" And then he says, "That you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Get up, walk, and go home." See? And so, then the call of Levi, which was the thing we did last time, and the party at Levi's house. And therefore, again, conflict. Look at the people your master is hanging around with. They're tax collectors, they're prostitutes, they're... You know, our Lord hears it. He comes over and says, "Come to listen to this. Learn what this means. I have come." You see, the healthy don't need a doctor. The sick do. And so he's answering, and if they wanted to follow that up, "So you're some kind of doctor." "Yes, as it says in the book of Exodus, I, Adonai, am your healer. But they won't go that far with him. And then we have all the part that we did just today, which is to follow up from there and get to the place where they're accusing our Lord of being in league with Beelzebul. Conflict. Conflict. We'll take up from there next time and move on.